Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! Edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, I don't even know what to say. Six straight, six nothing today. What do I say, Jack? What is this team? One week they're the best team I've ever seen. The next week they're the worst team I've ever seen. They got Matt Vierling going out having four hit games. They score more runs when we lose Rhys Hoskins and everyone's hurt. There's no rhyme or reason, Jack. I can't believe it. Six straight. They own the Nationals' soul, Jack. No team has ever owned another team's soul more than they own the Nationals' soul. All they do is let the Nationals take giant leads, and then they say, watch this. I don't even know what to say, Jack. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Once there was a silly old ant. Oh, what a beautiful day, beautiful time. Everything's great. I have no idea, James.
What is this?
You and I are both, and the listeners of this podcast, you beautiful, beautiful people, this lineup should not be scoring the amount of runs.
It's like 7-112 in the last seven games? Six times they've scored runs, and then a 12 spot?
And at least
12 spot was the worst lineup. The 12 spot was the Vierling and Bonifacio Jorge Bonifacio.
Yes.
Didn't even know who that guy was the first time he played a game for the Phillies, Jack. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so, I have no idea how to explain it. Obviously, the easiest way to explain it is that the Nationals are a Triple-A team. I mean, that's
boiling
it down to the simplest fact of the matter is that the Nationals and D-backs are just downright atrocious. James, I got a question for you to start off this podcast.
Oh, right off the top.
Yes.
I like it. Okay. All right. By the way, real quick, actually, before we get to the question,
Okay. Obviously,
thoughts and prayers with everyone in the area. Yes. If you're listening to this right now and you were affected or know someone who was affected or whatever, I know that Jack and I, we were, for the most part, really lucky with where we were in this storm. And obviously, a lot of people were not. So just definitely thinking about everyone out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of tough stuff that people are dealing with. And we're just thinking about you. And, hopefully we can raise some spirits today, just like the Phillies did today by raising some people's spirits.
Yeah, well, the first five innings of the game didn't happen. That's just a fact. So let me ask you this.
Yes, please.
If you needed one out from your bullpen, are you choosing this Nationals bullpen or last year's Phillies bullpen?
So it's so funny because I was trying to explain to Emily the fact that the Phillies became the first team in the history of baseball to win 7 games against one team in a season where they trailed by 3 runs or more at some point in the game. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, so basically what I'm saying is the Nationals bullpen is absolutely horrendous. Like, that's really the only way to read this stat. It's a great question, Jack. I think what do I say?
I know.
Last year's, I think I still take this.
Here's the question.
Is this Nationals bullpen facing the Phillies? Because in that case, obviously, I would definitely not take them. But are they this bad against everyone, Jack? It's unbelievable.
Dude, I don't know, man. But that Thompson guy, every time he comes in, I'm like, oh, here's at least three runs.
It's ridiculous. And the funniest part is, like, Paolo Espino.
Ugh.
They're, like, hurling 87-mile-per-hour fastballs over the heart of the plate.
Terrible.
Like, the Phillies can't hit this guy. But then all of a sudden, it's like, let's go to work when this horrendous bullpen comes in. It's unbelievable.
I think I have a nickname for the Phillies. You ready?
Oh, buddy. Is it the yo-yo? Is it the roller coaster? Is it the enigma? What do you got?
Tell me if you've ever heard this. I think it's brand new. I think it's original. I don't think this has ever been used for a certain, team or anything, but the Comeback Kids.
Oh, wow. First of all, never heard it before.
Really?
That is
what I thought.
Wholly original. I kind of think you're a genius for coming up with that on your own, buddy.
I was thinking either that or the Cardiac Kids.
I mean, how has no one done this before?
Right.
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot myself for not thinking of this.
Yeah, but maybe put it on a shirt. But official nickname of the 2021 Phils, the Comeback Kids.
Especially when they're playing the Nationals.
Especially when they're playing the Nationals. Parentheses
on the shirt right below. That'll be a nice little addendum to it.
Also, another nickname I was thinking of is Harper and maybe Segura McCutcheon and the kids.
Yeah, I mean, remember the whole like Spawn Insane and Pray for Rain? It's Harper and Segura and Kutch and Pray for Not Much or whatever.
Wow, rhymes! That rhymes!
Woo, buddy, look at that! Who's hot as the Phillies?
Who's hotter?
Hot as the Phillies?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody. Jack, how about this? How about the fact that, like, the entirety of the time we've been doing this podcast until this season, we never had the Phillies win 6 games in a row, and they've done it twice in a month? Like, what is that? How about that alone is such a ridiculous, and I know horrible teams, but still, like, this Phillies group had never been able to, even against horrible teams, been able to string together 6 straight in the entire time we've been doing this podcast. Now we're in the middle of 2 of them. They are the most like enigma, mystery, impossible to explain team that I remember, Jack. I really mean this. Like, again, that lineup they put out, the game they scored 12 runs in, like, just on paper, because obviously they scored 12 runs, so the proof is in the pudding, I guess. But like on paper, that is the worst lineup I ever in my life remember seeing from a team that was competing for a playoff spot in late August.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah. I mean,
can you ever remember Vierling and Bonifacio and Marchand and Torres? I mean, it's like you expect to see that lineup in Reading or Lehigh.
Or spring training. Or right? Literally spring training. It was a spring training lineup. What that was.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't even like it was the most unserious lineup I had seen from a competitive team in my life. Freddie, Segura, Harper, Kutch, Bonifacio, Torres, Vierling, Marchand. That team.
You got to get Torres in that 6-hole if you can, buddy. I mean, come on, right?
No, it's ridiculous. And I know it's the Nationals, but it's like, wow, that they are just how they're winning these games. And like I haven't seen this much ownage over a franchise since the 2018 and 2019 and 2020 Marlins over the Phillies.
Yes. It is that level of domination, isn't it?
It's so nice. It's so nice being on the opposite end of it for once.
How about like a player making a massive game-losing, devastating error?
Yeah.
against the Phillies?
Yeah,
really?
Crazy.
Cool.
Sweet. Like, even I tweeted feels like a loss today, and I said to myself, it doesn't really feel like a loss. Like, this is what they do. The comeback kids, as coined by this podcast.
Yes, for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy, because when they were down 6-0, like, I actually didn't think, even as out as I've been and annoyed, and even with the lineup they have, like, I didn't think it was over. Like, I really thought they had a real chance to come back, because they were playing the Nationals, which is crazy to think about. It is, they're 1.5 back right now, Jack. We did a podcast talking about the season being over like a week and a half ago. And just the swings. Do you ever remember a season with swings like this on both ends? The Braves now losing a bunch straight, and the Phillies, like, back and forth. Like, I don't ever remember this just dramatic of back and forth this late in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what happens when you play in a division as bad as this has been most of the year.
I mean, like, you look at the Rays, they'd be like 20 games back in that division or whatever.
Yeah. But who cares? Someone's got to win the division. You know, you just got to play the teams that are in front of you. Also, but at the same time, like, they are only a game and a half out of the wild card, too.
That's true.
Like,
I think it might be two. A game and a half as of right now.
I think it's two, because they're 2.5 out of the wild card heading into the...
Oh, yes. Yes, duh. You're right. So I was right initially. Yes. It's two.
But
yes,
like, so like that does, you know, it makes you feel a little bit better. It's not like winning last year's NFC East or whatever. Like, it's
right. They're not a disaster team. They're in the... That's a great point. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, they're just fine. You know? I think here's where we all need to be as Phillies fans. They are frustrating. They are going to rip our hearts out, but they're fine. Like, they're gonna make us miserable. They're gonna do that, but they're also gonna do this where they beat up on bad teams. They beat up on the Nationals, and they keep it in it. Like, at no point is this season really gonna be over. Like, it's not ever really gonna be over until possibly the last day of the year. So it's a roller coaster. You got to keep riding it. It's okay to ride the lows, because they do feel really low.
Yeah, you could say that, buddy.
Well, you're questioning your whole entire, like, why do I even follow this team? Like, yeah, I think that's perfectly fair. That's perfectly allowed.
They won 8 straight and then got swept by the Diamondbacks in Arizona. It's unbelievable. Like, that is such a absurd turn of events. Like, the Diamondbacks are horrible.
Yeah, we don't talk about that Diamondback series. Yeah, like, I just...
It didn't happen. But I mean, think about it. If they win that series, they're in first place. If they sweep them, you know.
If they miss the playoffs because of that Diamondback series, I'm gonna lose my...
I know. Well, I think you made a good point. Look, they're gonna be in it, and I feel like it, as I say it and as I heard you say it, like I pit in my stomach where I'm like, do I want to even say this? Because, like, how many times have we said this stuff all year and it's gone back and forth? But I do think it's, I mean, look, optimistic wise, like, yes, the Braves have an easy schedule too, but it's not as easy as the Phillies. The Phillies only have 2 series left against winning teams. Like, the series against the Brewers next week, and then the series at the end of the season against Atlanta. Like, that's it, Jack. Like, those are the only 2 series they have against winning teams. And, like, they get Colorado here. Colorado, one of the worst road teams in baseball. The Braves are about to play 4 games in Colorado. Crazy enough, the Rockies, along with the Giants, the 2 best home records in baseball. They're like the freaking Giants at home, and they're the Diamondbacks on the road. So, like, that's a swing for the Phillies. The Braves still have another series with the Giants left. They have another series with the Padres left. Mm. Like, you know, like, it is, if you want to go schedule, like, and a Phillies team, when we did the whole schedule thing, and I thought it was a very astute point of time, you said, hey, it doesn't really matter because they don't beat the teams they're supposed to. Like, right now, the only teams they're beating are the bad teams. So, like, this schedule could shake out really, really nicely, man.
Listen, honestly, I'm just going to go, you know, inside my brain here for a second.
Oh, dangerous place to be.
Dude, when you said the Braves have the Giants and the Padres left, like, I started thinking about, like, you know, a packed Citizens Bank Park with rally towels for the division series. I'm not one to throw out.
I mean, just, we had that Mets series, and that was like 1/10 of what that place could be. It just was the first time in so long it's been good. Like, how special did that feel?
I was there. It was unbelievable. Oh, no. Like, it was the greatest. It was literally the greatest. And, like, dude, I gotta be honest, James, this is gonna be a fun month. It's gonna be excruciating. It's gonna be, there's gonna be lows, there's gonna be highs, but, man, we have legitimate playoff baseball, like, atmosphere for the next month. And like, it, honestly, James, if I said before the season that starting September, you're going to be a game and a half behind the Braves heading into it, you would take that, right?
Yeah, especially if you told me you'd be a game and a half back in the midst of a six-game win streak. I mean, they could be a game back tonight. Like, again, they're playing the juggernaut home Rockies tonight.
Right, right. They are, with player of the month CJ Cron. That was totally deserving and definitely shouldn't have gone to Bryce Harper.
I didn't see that. Harper didn't get it?
Nope, CJ Cron did.
Oh,
that's bad news for the NL East, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
Bad news for the NL East. Has a player ever won MVP with never winning player of the month?
I'm sure it's happened, but it's unlikely. And man, I mean, we talked about it, but I mean, the credit that Bryce gets for this, because we've, you know, I think a lot of people in Philly have dogged him at times, and certainly some more than others, but we've dogged his leadership. We've dogged, you know, kind of needing him to really throw the team on his back. And when you see these lineups, Jack, and first of all, he has been producing like every single night, but even just his presence in the lineup is like the only thing that the other team has to fear. And he's still getting hits. He's still knocking pitches out of the ballpark. Like the fact that he sees, they should be like bonzing him, you know, like it should be like one pitch a game that he could hit. Like it's been unbelievable what this guy, I know we said it last pod, but it just, he's batting over 300 again. Like this guy is just carrying a really bad lineup right now. Like he is the heart of this. He is the engine, the force, the driving force. And I mean, if he can carry this through the next month, especially if the Padres fade and they don't make the playoffs, Bryce Harper is going to win the MVP.
Yes. Well, honestly, it might come down to Freeman or him. Like, whoever wins the NL East, it could come down to Freeman.
It's possible.
Freeman,
I mean,
or
again,
Harper.
If Tatis gets them to the wild card, if they, like, leap the Reds and have a good last month and he's awesome, it could still be him. It's one of those three guys. The top three in MVP are going to be Harper, Tatis, and Freeman in some order. And I legitimately think these next 29 games, like the month of September, is going to decide it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's exciting too.
Oh, what a time!
We got a playoff run. We got an MVP run.
Unfortunately, I don't think Wheeler's winning the Cy Young.
No, that has been put to bed. Sadly,
yeah.
Sadly, he'll be a top five guy, and he's still an amazing season. But you made a great point, Jack. I mean, tell people what you noticed about his innings.
Oh yeah, he's 13 innings away from his career high. Like, yeah. We gotta get this guy
like
a breather.
Six starts left this season.
Yeah,
seven starts.
We gotta get him a breather. You gotta make sure that he's able to. You know, at this point, Wheeler has gotten to September. We got to get him through September. So, they got to figure out a way to kind of give him a breather here or there. I know every game is important. I know that. But you also need him down the stretch run. So, you know, that, you know, hopefully they can kind of push him back in one of these starts and, or, you know, whatever, give him an extra day of rest so he's fully ready to go, because you can kind of just tell that his legs look like they're a little bit tired.
Yeah, he just hasn't looked the same recently. I mean, it's pretty clear. Really, the holiday start is the only one of, you know, the last month plus or whatever where he's been totally unhittable, dominant guy. You know, otherwise, he's had really good spurts and he's had a couple of really good outings, but he's also had those outings where he runs into trouble. And, you know, certainly the last couple have been that way too. So I think that'd be really smart. I mean, you can't skip Matt Moore. I mean, anytime you can find an opportunity to slide Matt Moore in there, it is wild how they keep winning these Matt Moore games. I haven't kept track with the record like you were before, but again, that other one the other night, like Matt Moore is absolutely horrendous, like just stinks, and they win the game. They come back. So, and like in reality, I mean, like, look, honestly, I think what we saw today, like them coming back, is huge. But what we saw earlier in the game, I want you to talk about this, because I do think that the way this is shaping up, and if this lineup can still smoke and mirrors it, and Bryce kind of carry him, and JT play first base, and Segura, you know, get back on, you know, hot, and they can kind of find a way to stay where they're at, not necessarily seven runs a game, but like playing, you know, scoring runs, like it's going to come down to this staff. And I feel really good about Wheeler if they can get him some rest. I feel great about Gibby. I feel great about Suarez, like we talked about last pod. You know, it's going to come down to the guy who stunk again today, September Nola. Like, and really, we don't even have to say September Nola this season, because it's just been Aaron Nola this season has been the classic September Nola. Like, I'm concerned. Like, that's coming out of today. Super exciting, awesome win. I'm like, super excited about this team. I'm hopeful again. Like, I'm not going to say that.
No,
I'm like,
come on.
Yo, look. I'm in on this team. I'm fully in. I'm excited. I believe that they are going to play meaningful games in the September. Like I said, they're going to be in it. I can't say I like think they're going to win the division, but no. It's only because I've been hurt so much.
Yeah.
They definitely can win the division, and I'm all in. I'm excited again. Like, I don't feel hurt anymore. I don't feel like an idiot for believing. What I'm going to do is just not fully go to where we went before, where we were like, oh, they're winning this division, it's over, because it's totally not, and it's a real fight this September. But like, to your point before, Jack, like, this is exciting September baseball, and if they're gonna make this happen with the lineup they're rolling out there, like, Aaron Nola has to be better.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a shame because actually all right, obviously he pitched bad today, but he actually did, I thought he actually showed some good signs for most part, and then kind of just fell apart with the Soto stuff and whatnot. And by the way, speaking of intentionally walking people, like, can we just start walking Juan Soto?
I mean, same point I made about Harper before, yeah, applies to this Nationals lineup. Like, there's nobody else in the lineup. What are you doing? Yeah. Walk him every time.
I thought his fastball command was still really good to the outside, to glove side. Didn't have it inside the righties as much, but I thought at least he still had the glove side command on his fastball, which I think is massive. I just didn't think his curveball was bad today. So, yeah, it stinks that he did it today, but I'm actually not super down on Nola after today. Like, for me, it all comes back to his fastball command, and I thought he had that today. I just thought he had a bad curveball, and I don't think he used it in the right spots. So I would be more out on Nola if the fastball command was still bad, but at the moment, I'm not like super disappointed in him, if that makes any sense.
Okay, I'll be super disappointed for both of us.
Like, okay.
Whatever. I get what you're saying, that you're like hopeful, but he still sucked today.
Yeah, no.
And he still has sucked. His ERA is 4.5, man.
Yeah,
like,
but his last...
Really?
His three of his last four starts have been much, much, much better. Like, that's
he
all
was
I'm
like
saying.
Like 5 1/3, 2 runs last time.
Much
like,
better.
He was better, but it wasn't... But again, like... Like, look, like, think about it this way, and this may sound crazy to say, but if they find a way to get to the playoffs, and obviously anything can be changed by how they have to get to the playoffs, how this month goes, do they have to play one game playoff, do they have to fight till the last day, all that stuff, can they set up the rotation? But in an ideal world, like, obviously Wheeler's your game one starter. I wouldn't want Nola in game two. I would absolutely start Gibby in game two over him. I just trust that guy more right now. And get this, Jack. I swear to God, if I were making these decisions, I would start Ranger Suarez in game three and Nola in game four, if that's the way it shook out. Like, I just think those guys are better pitchers right now.
Totally agree. I totally agree with you.
Wow, nice. No pushback. Well, they push back on me a bit.
Well, no, I don't. I don't feel it. I really don't. Yeah. You know, I think Wheeler would be good. Although, yeah, I mean, I think Wheeler would be fine. I just trust Ranger Suarez no matter what. Like,
me too. I can't get over it. Like, every time I'm just so impressed with this guy. He's like the coolest, coldest, calmest guy on the team.
Dude, I'll never, like, maybe it was this series. Yeah, I think it was a series, or maybe it was, no, I think it was actually Sunday against the Diamondbacks. But like, he was pitching, and like, he had a ball hit right back to him. He caught it, obviously. And like, he just like started like almost juggling it on the way off the field. It's like, what is this? Like, it's just, it's crazy. So, like, I fully trust him in big moments. And then, first off, I do love that you're calling him Gibby. Like, I'm like, I like that you're already there.
Oh, yeah. I'm all in. I was in on that immediately.
Gibby,
like,
yeah.
More or less the moment he got traded here, he was Gibby to me. I've been waiting forever to have a Gibby. All right, Jack?
Wow.
It's such a great nickname.
Like, it is a good nickname. Gibby. Yeah, it's a good nickname. I agree. So,
and it's a baseball nickname. Like, it doesn't work for other sports. Like Antonio Gibson in Washington is a running back, can't be Gibby. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't work.
Him. Yeah.
But like, baseball works, man.
So, and it's just like, I think he's going to, you have to find the guys that are going to give you the best chance at six innings and less than three runs. And those three guys have that, you know, better than Nola right now. Obviously, you definitely have to see how Suarez finishes out September, just because he's a young guy, yeah, hasn't been in the situation. But yeah, honestly, like, and honestly, if it comes down to it, I would probably rather have a Wheeler in a game four on 3 days rest than Nola.
Yeah.
So
no, yeah, it's a really good point, and it's unbelievable. It, Jack, when you think about playoff Nola, like, any longtime listener of this podcast knows that phrase. Like, it's crazy to have this conversation right now.
I know.
Yeah.
Bring me back to 2018 Fenway start.
I know. How about just 2018 period? Like, wow, that guy. He was third in Cy Young.
Dude, he had like a 2.38.
Yeah. To two like elite seasons. Like he could have won the Cy Young in other years. He had a Cy Young caliber season. And now he's this. And it's like he's not much older. He's not, you know, it's strange to see how much he's fallen off this year. It really is.
I just think it's so sickening that we go from Wentz to Simmons to Nolan.
I know.
In three straight years.
I hate all these guys. I can't even think rationally about Ben Simmons and how much I hate that guy. And I can't think rationally about Carson Wentz. What a loser. But I will say that one thing that gives me hope, and I know this is, you know, Jack, sometimes we take hope from tangible, factual, statistical type of things that, right, you know, are reasonable and whatnot. But this is one of those ethereal, unexplainable, not real type of things. But I always said this is not a Phillies are winning the World Series this year, because I don't think that, but okay, I always thought that when the Eagles finally won their Super Bowl, whenever it happened in our lifetime, it would be an improbable way that it happened. It would be something where, like, of course it would happen in this ridiculous, absurd way. And it did. Like, that actually happened, obviously, with Foles and the whole thing. Like, it would be such an absurd thing to end this 10-year playoff drought with this season and this team on the field now the way it is. Like, with this lineup, with Matt Vierling and Bonifacio and, you know, all these guys playing meaningful games in September, and Aaron Nola being the four in the rotation as far as we're concerned in September. Like, it would be funny. Like, it would feel somewhat appropriate to end this playoff drought with a team like this and this kind of unexpected, up and down, finally get it done type of season.
Are you calling them a wacky, wonderful bunch of throwbacks?
I am, buddy.
Wow.
I am.
Like the
93
Phillies.
Did you just come up with that too?
All by myself.
Fire today, man.
No one has ever uttered that sentence about a previous Phillies team. No one.
Oh, man.
This podcast could not be more on fire.
No, it's put in the podcast Hall of Fame right now.
This podcast is playing the Nationals.
Yeah. Except we were never down. We just crushed them. Like, we didn't even need to come back. Yeah. Exactly.
By the way, I think it was at this point in 2011, the 2011 Phillies were 42 games over 500.
Oh my God.
We really took that for granted, didn't we?
We did, man. Especially, you know, thank God we won one. Like, in hindsight, you know, everyone's like, oh, we should have won more. Like, yo, thank God we won one. That's the way I look at it. I know there are a lot of people who don't, but being a Philadelphia sports fan, and again, to what we just talked about, I mean, Jack, as you like to point out, I'm incredibly old. And In fact, we are 23 days from me turning 40.
Oof. You had a good run, kid. Are 40-year-olds allowed to host podcasts?
I don't think so. This is it. You guys got me for 23 more days, and then we have to find a youngster to come in. And
thank God.
You know, someone who really knows what they're doing.
Yep.
Yeah, you know. But as a you know, the resident old guy
40?
Here. Yeah, I'm going to be 40. Isn't that crazy?
Oof.
As a almost 40-year-old, I've won two titles that I remember. The Sixers won in 1983 when I was like a year and a half old. Like, that doesn't count.
Wow, so you're a fraud?
Yeah, exactly. I've had two titles, Jack. So, like, I don't take any for granted. And I think, you know, to your point, we did maybe take how good that team was. And just, like, after the last 10 years, like, I just treasure the opportunity to go to the playoffs, making the playoffs, having a baseball team that wins on a regular basis that doesn't drive us crazy. And obviously that's not been the case a lot of times this year, but like, it is a great point that, like, even though they only won one and people kind of give them crap for it, like, that run of excellence was something we shouldn't take for granted, especially right now.
So on Philly's like, yeah, I know.
It's the only time in their history, Jack.
Wow.
Like, that's it.
Well, no.
And the late 70s, the early 80s, that's it. They'd have two runs of excellence, and then they've had some outlier teams like 93 and 50 and all that stuff. But, like, they've only had two sustained runs of excellence in their history.
Well, at least they've only been around since 1883. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny. I actually, me and Jill went over to my parents for dinner on Sunday. And I don't know how it came up, but I literally uttered the sentence like, I just want to see one more Phillies, like World Series in my life. Like that's, if I'm looking for life goals, I just want one more World Series. Like that, because I legitimately not sure I'm going to see it. Like I know it'll probably happen. but I'm not like 100% sure it's going
to
happen.
No, nor should you be. Again, to the point, I mean, they've only won two since 1883. The actual odds say it probably won't, you know? Yeah. But I think they will do. But I mean, like they've won two since 1883.
Yeah, they both.
You can't say for sure they're going to win one.
Both my parents and Jill were like, really? And I was like, no, really. Like, I thought a lot about what I would do if they won another World Series.
I agree with you, man. I really do feel that way. I and obviously, like, I'm sure as I get older, and I'm sure you'll have this too when you have kids and stuff, like someday, I would love to see Zoe be able to see them win a title and all that stuff. But like, you know, all that. But like, I just want one more. I want to, now that we did it once and it was like so, like, the first one was so amazing, but also so weird because it was our first. Like, we didn't even know what to do. We didn't know how to act. We didn't know how to respond. Like, I want one more, like, with the experience under my belt to, like, really savor it and to really, like, you know, remember it and all that, you know?
If you had to bet right now, do they win a World Series in your 40s?
This might be the most depressing question anyone has ever asked me in my life on so many levels. Like, that question is just levels of depressing for me. Way to bring the pot down, buddy. You know what? Bleep it. I was about to curse, but I didn't. Bleep it. I'm going to say yes, Jack.
Okay.
I'm an optimistic guy. I'm not going to go into my 40s thinking the Phillies aren't going to get me a title. Oh, God.
Get Zoe and James a title. For Cripe's sake.
I wish that I had real conviction in that answer, Jack. I wish I had been like, you're GD right, they're going to. Of course they're going to.
Yep.
Yeah. I've got 40s. Thank God. What else? What else? Now I'm all like flustered from having to think about being 50 in 10 years and whether the Phillies are going to win a title in that time. It's great.
Well, at least they've won six straight.
Happy. Yes. Back to the present. That's the move. Six straight.
I think we just spent the last 10 minutes thinking about the next, 10 years of our lives and seeing how things are going to play out.
Oh,
let's get it
kids.
Back to the Phils. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're going to. You'll at some point I'll be making jokes about you being old when I'm like super old,
super
and then
old.
It'll be like reverse funny, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's something to look forward to.
That's exactly, you know? Right, pal. Way to keep things in perspective.
Yeah, I know. We need it. We needed it, buddy. We needed a little perspective. All right, let's get it back to the Phillies, as they say. All right, like, so we're in the stretch run here. Obviously, like, it's, you know, there's 29 games left. It's September, like. What's your, I'm going to go, did the Let's Get Back to the Phillies. I'm going to go super old school sports radio on you.
Love
Jack
it.
Fritz, what's your confidence level in the Phillies?
Dude, 215-592-9494. My confidence level in the Phillies? 10. I mean, obviously, everything's fine. Here's my confidence level. I am confident that Braves series at the end of the year is going to make or break the season. Like, it's like, that's it. And I don't think at any point in the last month they're going to be four games out. I don't think at any point in the last month they're going to be four games up. Like, it's going to come down to that last weekend. I don't think they're going to fall on their face. I don't think they're going to run away with it. I don't think they're going to, this might go back to haunt me, but
famous last words coming.
I don't think they're going to crap down their legs and not win a game in the last week of the season to try to make the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's
just
a bold statement.
I think they found their groove here a little bit. I believe the starting
rotation. That alone would be progress,
yes.
Right, Jack?
I believe in the starting rotation more this year than I did last year, and I believe in the bullpen more than this year than last year. Yeah. The lineup is just something I have no idea how they're scoring right now. And that's not to rain on everyone's parade. I just have no idea how they can keep this up, because, like, even when Didi comes back, they're adding a 212 hitter to the lineup. Sweet. Like,
yeah, it's like, are we sure Didi's a better hitter than Therese?
Therese or Freddie?
I mean, Dureas is statistically has been a better hitter than Didi this year, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, have a year, kid.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, so
which is hilarious because we're like he's batting like 260. Oh, we're like, have a year, Ronald.
Yes. It's his birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday, Ronnie.
Oh, shout out to Ron.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like I trust them enough to stay in. I don't think they're gonna completely fall apart. I think the starting staff's too good. I just have no idea. I have no idea about the lineup. Like I just don't think that they are talented enough to consistently do this. But they've also scored what? Like seven now? Wow. Hey, it's ridiculous. It started last Friday night. Yeah.
It's six straight games with seven, or no, six or seven, but seven or more. And it's been exactly seven here.
Outside of Wednesday, which they scored 12. Or outside of Tuesday, they scored 12.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven, but they lost one. That's why I was thrown off. Yes, it's been seven straight games where they scored seven runs, except for the one game they scored 12. So right. 7-7-7, 12-7-7, whatever.
Yeah, very fun. So
it's unbelievable with the worst lineup they've had all year. It's unbelievable. Like it really, I probably said that word like 20 times this pod because I didn't think, and mea culpa, my bad. Like you said, I should have been more in on him. I'm a coward, Jack. But like, I just didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about this right now. And it's awesome. Like it is awesome. I'm super excited.
Yes. And me too. And honestly, just the fact that it's September, we got meaningful baseball. I hope the bank reflects that and, I'll take it. Like I hope they make the playoffs. I'm dying for them to make the playoffs, but I'm just glad that, you know, they righted the ship here a little bit. They're beating up on bad teams. They're having comebacks. They're doing all that stuff. Like, that's good. And honestly, it's important for the growth of this team because they got to figure out how to win together, and they're kind of doing that right now. And I like that it's the kids, too. Like, I like that the kids are coming through, and they're having some big moments. So it's not just the stars showing up. It's the depth pieces as well.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And again, I don't know how they're doing it, but I'm excited to see if they can keep doing it. And it's just, it's fun, man. It's fun. It looked like we weren't going to have a fun September. And, you know, again, dangerous statements, but I think we're going to have a fun September. And to your point, like, even if they can just make it a fun September and not, to steal your phrase earlier, crap down their leg in September, I mean, that alone is progress.
That's a big step for this baseball team.
what a thought.
I mean, the fourth straight disaster September, 18, 19,
20. Oh, yeah, if they did it. Yeah, it's 18, 19, 20.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ever since Reese had like 100 homers in September of 17.
I know. Back when the games didn't matter.
Nope.
That was sadly the most fun September moments of the last 5 years.
Is the best September moment of the last 5 years the Altair homer off Kershaw?
Probably. Yeah.
Or I guess Nola versus Harper, but
yeah, but you know, it's skewed by the later September moments that follow.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, take bag.
All right. I'm not one to rip Scott Fransky. Why who would ever rip Scott Fransky?
Well, where are we going with this? This is about as unexpected a lead-in as I could imagine.
And Scott, if you're listening, I'm just kidding. But, you know, in the ninth inning today, Keibert Ruiz hits that ball, and I thought it was like, oh, it's definitely game over. Like, the Nat just walked it off. And the two Bulls camped under it, you know? Like, you know, I didn't need that heart attack in the ninth inning from Scott Fransky. So
this is great that you said this because I was driving with Zoe when the game ended. I was picking her up, took forever to get home because obviously it's, you know, tough out there with, you know, traffic and 676 closed, all that. But but I was listening and I had the exact same reaction.
Yeah, I know.
Like when he started it, like it was like, I thought it was gone. I was like, oh my God, they just walked it off against us. Like what a devastating turn of events. I was about to start cursing Ian Kennedy out my car. And you're right. And then he's like, oh, and Odubel's underneath it. And okay, we're good. Like it was like, this is a great point.
Yeah.
And I love Scott Fransky, but it was terrifying.
Well, it didn't help that he had friends in the back being like, oh, like, come on. You don't need to ruin our days.
I know. I'm so with you. I really thought I'm so happy you brought this up.
I saw the pitching matchup for this weekend in Miami, and it's like so favorable towards the Phillies, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Like, I just had a cold like a cold shiver down my spine. I was like, oh, here we go. No, they're not going to do this to us again.
Yeah, I know. I can't even really think rationally about this weekend series with the Marlins.
Well, I think I said on the air on the postgame show, like, yeah, we haven't had that disaster Marlins series this year, which could be my famous last words.
This is like, you know, like right around the time of 1911 too. Like, we're right in that range, you know.
You had to bring up 1911.
You're the one who brought it up.
You brought 1911. I didn't bring up 1911.
You brought up disaster series. 1911 is what you think about when you think about the most disaster series.
Yeah, that and the Marte ball off Workman. I will never get over that.
Just beat the freaking Marlins this weekend, guys. Please, like, please.
One of my other takeaways from today, and I think it's actually really important for the stretch run here, but I really thought Sam Coonrod looked great, and I think
I think
he's definitely more back than he was. Like, I think maybe the spider attack thing affected him. Like, immediately after spider attack went away, he had like an elbow thing, and the same thing happened to Glasnow. And unfortunately, Glasnow needed his season shutdown, but Coonrod was able to kind of work his way back. So, you know, maybe he's healthy now, healthier than he was. And because before, you know, when spider attack was still in or whatnot, he was a massive piece for this bullpen. And if they can get him in for the stretch run, I thought he was great today. Legitimate four seamer back to 100 miles an hour and
101 at one point, I think, too.
That's what you need out of him. So yeah, that could be a massive.
I mean,
bounce back.
We loved him early in the season. I mean, you know, he was a really, really big piece of the bullpen, and one of the reasons we were excited about the team early on, because the bullpen seemed so much better. Yeah, if they can get something from him, if he can regain that April May form, I mean, that would be like huge, really huge.
It's with Reese being out, Andrew McCutchen being in the four hole, it would just be and kind of taking and run with it would be great, because they for as much as we love Torres and the guys at the bottom of the lineup kind of coming through, they need that other guy that can drive and run to the top of the lineup, and it looks like McCutchen's ready to do that, and that would just lengthen this lineup a lot. So, you know, Kutch had a huge day today. The bats looked quicker, I want to say, the last three games. So if they can get him back to being the Kutch that we saw a little bit ago, and he can kind of take the mantle from Reese as the guy that's going to drive in some runs and get some big hits, they need that, because the Bryce needs protection if he's going to continue to do what he's done. So I thought today was a massive step for McCutchen, and I would like to see him in the four hole more.
Yesterday too, with the like that moonshot home run, like when they really needed it too, and obviously the double was huge today. Yeah, I'm with you, man. And look, I mean, McCutchen is the only guy in the lineup other than Harper who can be that, you know, who can be that masher. And look, there again, from June 1st or whatever until he got hurt, McCutchen was literally one of the best hitters in baseball, legitimately. Like, so, you know, he's already shown this season that, you know, we know he's not the old Andrew McCutchen, but he still has these stretches in him. And if he can give him one here, it could go a long way towards getting him the playoff track.
Yeah. And I know he wasn't in the four hole today, but because JT was, but JT's just not a four hole hitter to me. Yeah. And if I was the manager, I would put McCutchen there. So, because they just need him. And also, like, quick side note, the Patrick Corbin, like, 65 mile an hour curveball is the most joke pitch in baseball. Like, major league hitters should crush that pitch. I know it's like kind of a, you know, change of pace, but it's so stupid. Like, just throw the slider. Patrick Corbin, they're paying him, what, $82 million over the next 3 years?
I mean, they won a World Series, so it's like hard to rip that contract, but what a disaster contract. And then you pair it with, you could definitely rip the Strasburg one because they won the World Series, then gave him the contract.
Yeah.
And that one looks like it might be the worst in baseball, or one of them. So,
Reese back to the NLCS?
Can he be? They just put him on the 60-day.
I don't know.
He had surgery.
Yeah, well, listen, pal. We need you back for the NLCS.
I mean, I will say it did seem like, even though he was like clearly hurt enough to end his season, whenever he played, he was able to knock bombs.
Dude, I know. It's like he's hitting tank shots and then he goes in the field.
And then he like can't move in the field. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. James, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why was today the biggest game of the season?
Ooh.
Or why was today's game so important? How about that?
Well, I mean, obviously, there are many reasons. Every game is important.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, they came back from 6-0.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have some weird reason, so give it to me.
Yesterday's rainout, means that they didn't travel today, which means they don't have, they didn't spend a full day in Miami heading into a Marlins series.
Look at you.
Which hopefully,
that's a really good point, Jack.
Which hopefully means they don't come out super slow tomorrow.
And a day game, so they get there, you know, they, well, if you're Girardi saying, well, we got in at 3 a.m., so this guy's unavailable tonight. None of that crap, like, you're getting in early, you'll be there, you'll be good to go. Yeah, go win some games in Miami. Like, win some freaking games in Miami, all right?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they won a game today with there was only 600 people there and they're able to, like, create their own energy.
How empty was that park?
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, when you get shots of, like, the pitcher from multiple angles and literally from, like, multiple angles, you don't see a single person in the stands, it's pretty crazy.
I think the Nationals announced 12,000 today. And there was definitely no more than 500 people there. So yeah,
max.
So
the, I'm not even kidding.
The fact that they were able to do that against, you know, they were able to create that energy. Hopefully they can do the same down in Miami.
We're all the Nationals fans. We just won a World Series.
Oh, an attitude. Oh, we beating Philadelphia isn't as hard as Philadelphians say it is. Good job, losers. Anyway.
This year it was, huh?
Yep.
9-1 against them in Washington or whatever. Oof. Insane.
Rafael Marchand can stay, man. Like,
dude, in.
Love him behind the plate. Love the way he calls games. I love that he only hits homers in the big leagues and saves them all for up here and doesn't waste them in the minor leagues. I think that's important. And like, I just like his actions back there. He seems like the perfect guy to kind of back up JT for the next decade.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I like a tight, concise swing. You know, I like the way he doesn't feel like an automatic out the way another backup catcher this year has felt. Sorry, I won't hate on him, but
thank you.
You know, he doesn't feel like an automatic out, and yeah, the home run thing is ridiculous, but, and he's clearly fantastic defensively. And I liked the JT at first, him behind the plate thing today. I can roll with that. You know, obviously Miller's going to play some first too, but I can roll with that.
Yeah. I mean, I would like him to hit more for the $25 million he's getting paid this year, but whatever.
Well, of course. But the point is, I mean, you know, I don't think it's that, you know, much of an offensive or that much of a lineup downgrade if you put JT at first and, you know, keep his bat in the line. Yeah. But I agree. Look, ideally.
Well, again, how about this? Against righties, Miller first. Against lefties,
well, that
JT
was my thought. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I don't know what his ceiling is, but, dude, Veerling can hit. I mean, he had 5 balls on Monday, Tuesday night. They were all over 105 miles an hour off the bat. Now, some of them were driven into the ground, which is very bumish, but... like that guy can hit. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know where he's at long term. I don't know if maybe, you know, they do a left field platoon next year with whoever else, like whatever. But that guy impressed me this week for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he's hit pretty well. Every time he's got an opportunity, he's played like 6 games or whatever with the Phils this year, a couple off the bench, but you know, he's come through.
I think so, he's 7-for-12 sure. On the year.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, batting title.
Now, I have long stated that the Clearwater Threshers were my favorite team in the entire Phil system. But at the moment, they've been replaced by the Jersey Shore Blue Calls because they called up Luis Garcia, Johan Rojas, and Griff McGarry today to Jersey Shore. And that just makes me straight up giddy. So the Phils win 6 straight. My 3 favorite prospects go to high A. Bryce Stott's hitting like 500. Everything's great in prospect land.
It's good to hear, buddy. It makes me happy. Luis Garcia, it'd be nice to get something out of a Luis Garcia. Oh, wait, we did today. Thank you, Luis Garcia.
Yep, yep. The most a Luis Garcia has helped out a Phillies team ever.
I mean, that was phenomenal. I mean, what a horrendous error. Like, that was just in that spot, that's about as bad as they come.
Yes, just dreadful. So, man, what a day. What a baseball
what a
team.
Day.
What a season.
What a day. I can't believe I'm hopeful again. Like, I don't know how they pulled this off. It's pretty exciting, man. Like, I really was like getting apathetic about them, you know, on a night-to-night basis. Obviously, we watch them, we talk about them, we're going to pay attention. But, like, I really, that stretch, the, you know, whatever it was, they lost 12 of 16, like, towards the end of it, like, I just was really feeling very hopeless about this team. And, Jack, the hopes are higher, buddy.
That's good to hear. Everyone out there is just like, thank God James is not out.
I guarantee you I'm not the only one, my friend. I think a lot of us were feeling the way I was feeling. I was just honest enough to admit it.
Bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
One member of this podcast never doubted this baseball team.
Yes, that is exactly what happened. Like, yep. 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 You got any final thoughts?
I don't. I hope to see some people out of Four Fingers on Saturday. We're having a nice little cornhole tournament, and we're hanging out and having a good time. So enjoy your Labor Day weekend, pal.
You too, buddy. And to everyone out there, and again, anyone, you know, going through stuff, we're thinking about you. Our thoughts are with you, and we hope for the best. And Jack, I will end it with this. Who let the Phils get hot?
Some AAA teams did, buddy.
He's Fritz himself. We'll see you later.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.